And we're holding on page 80 in Yoma, Ois Ayin Ches. We learned yesterday about the pros and cons of a person publicizing his Avedis. And we talked about the difference between whether it's well known or not, and whether it was Bein Adam L'Mokum or Bein Adam L'Chaveroi. So now continuing on that theme. The Gemara says, Shnei Parnosim Tovim Omdu Lahem L'Yisrael. There were two great leaders. A Parnos literally is like from the word Parnosa, so it means someone who supplies the needs, but a Parnos basically means a leader of the community. So two great leaders stood up for the Jewish people. The Elohim Moshe and David, specifically we're talking about Moshe and David, and there's a contrast between them as far as what happened with their Averis. So, well, you know, we don't, whatever we call them, not really Averis, but whatever the things that they did that they weren't supposed to have done. Moshe Omer Yikosef Surchon. Moshe asked that it should be written in the Torah clearly what I did wrong. Shenema, as we find at the end of Parshas Hazinu, Hashem says, go up onto Har Nevoi, and you're going to see out Yisrael, and you're not going to go in there. Al Hashem Altim Bi V'Soch B'nei Yisrael, because you trespassed against me among B'nei Yisrael, B'mei Merivas Kodesh Midbar Tzin, by the waters of Merivas Kodesh in the desert of Tzin, Al Hashem L'Kidash L'Moisi V'Soch B'nei Yisrael, because you didn't make me holy among B'nei Yisrael, as it actually says there, the point that if they had spoken to the rock, then the Jews would have learned a tremendous kavachomer from there that we have to listen to Hashem. Or different pasuk that's quoted in the printed Gemaras, Yan Lohem Mantim Biva Gomer, where Hashem says when Aaron is about to pass away, that you're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael because you didn't have complete emunah in me, and you did then, and you didn't quite do the right thing. The point is, every time it mentions in the Torah that Moshe or Aaron is going to pass away, it always says why. So there's a few reasons behind it. Rashi mentions on the Psukim that in Parshas Chukas in particular, in Parshas Pinchas rather, Rashi mentions the vote is that Moshe doesn't want that people should think that he also died because of the Chet Meraglim, like all the other Jews in the desert. So therefore he wants it specified. Here the Gemara is going to give a mashal to it, in a similar vein, like so to speak, he did a lesser Aveda, and he wants it to be known that he did that lesser Aveda, so people don't accuse him of doing a greater Aveda, such as the Chet Meraglim. With that said, Iyun Yaakov and Ben Yehoyada says similarly that there's another thing in it also. Why are we calling Moshe Parnas Tov for that? What's that implies that he's doing it for the sake of the Jewish people. And yes, he's doing it for the sake of the Jewish people so that they should learn that even a tiny Aveda has such big consequences. On the other hand, David asked that his Aveda should not be written. In Sanhedrin, the Gemara gives more details where David asks that it should not be written in Tanakh what he did, and Hashem tells him over there that can't really be. The fact is, it was done, and it has to be recorded for all time. So David had asked that it shouldn't be written, Shenemar, as he himself says in Tilim, Asher Nesui Pesha, Ksui Chata, happy is the person whose Averis had been forgiven, whose Chet has been hidden. So he wanted it to remain hidden, and it shouldn't be known. Now, by neither of them does it actually say in so many words in the Psukim that they ask that. But Marsha points out that the fact is, it was after all only Beinu Lebein HaMokim, it wasn't Beinu HaMachaveh, right? And the fact is, it wasn't such a major, it wasn't Mefursim, it wasn't well known to everybody that Moshe had done something wrong, and it was only Beinu HaMokim, based on the criteria that we learned yesterday, it should have been concealed, yet every time the Torah makes a point of mentioning it. So therefore, Marsha says, we can derive from that Moshe must have asked for it. The Rif talks about over here at length and gives a different point that the fact that, for example, why did what he says according to the Girsa of Ein Yaakov, why is it bringing Davka the Pasuk from the end of Hazinu when you have this point in a few other places in Torah? And he says because there it's clearer than it is in the other places when it goes into such length. Alasher ma'altim bi alasher l'kidash demoisi. Then that implies we're not just coming to mention the fact that we're not just mentioning the basic fact. We're going into detail, and that must be because Moshe himself asked that that's how it should be recorded in the Torah. Again, for the reason that way, so one idea is, again, this way they don't suspect him of having done a greater Aveda, such as the Chet Meraglim, or according to Iyun Yaakov and then Ben Yehoyada, the vote is everybody should understand from that the gravity of even what seems to be a small event. Even though, I mean, there are excuses, there's all kinds of reasons for what Moshe did. So he could do that, but he doesn't need it. He wants it to be recorded so the Jewish people will learn from it for all time. On the other hand, again, we're saying David, so again, when it says that David didn't want it to be written down, again, it doesn't say in so many words, but the Gemara explains in Sanhedrin in greater detail that David asked that, and the Gemara gives a whole dialogue back and forth between Hashem and David on the subject, including quoting a pasuk from Mishlei he's not going to get completely scot-free off with it, and Hashem tells him, I'll only inform in the time of Shlomo HaMelech that you're completely forgiven, etc. So Moshel the Moshe the David Lamar David Domer. So what can we compare these two? This contrast between Moshe and David. What is it like? The Shtei Noshim Shalokas Bevestin. Imagine you have two women who are being given Malkus in Bevestin. And again, by the way, this that David doesn't want it written down. It's not just for his own personal cupboard. Ian Yaakov points out there's another point in it as well, that David wants to know, he wants that everybody should be able to learn the value of tshuva, that tshuva is so powerful it can wipe away the Aveda completely, and it doesn't even have to be written. Ben Yehoyada says somewhat differently, that he says that... with Moshe, yeah, that even though it was a very minor aveda, seemingly, nevertheless, Hashem didn't accept all his tefillahs for it. For David, it's the other way around. Really, after all, we know it wasn't all that serious an aveda, because Bathsheba was already divorced, b'chola b'chola. So David figured if Hashem orders it to be written in Nevi'im, he's not going to write it blatantly that David actually committed znus or something like that. He's going to write the mitigating factors. Well, then David figured, then people are going to learn from that. That fine, Hashem is willing to forgive when there are mitigating factors, but not when it's more serious than that. Therefore, he didn't want it to be written in the first place. Mashenkin, instead, Hashem sort of bypassed that. He wrote it down without the mitigating factors. We only have them hinted at in the psukim. So it looks, when you learn the psukim, when you read the psukim superficially, it looks like David did a very serious aveda, and yet we see that Hashem forgave him. Anyway, so Moshe the Moshe with David Lamaha David Domer, L'shtei Noshim Shalokas Bevestin. You have two women are getting Malkus in Beis Din. Achas Kilkala, one of them committed Znus. In principle, of course, if she's an Eishes Ish, she's going to get Misa. Rashi points out they gave her Asura only for Malkus. So therefore, all she's getting in Beis Din is Malkus. But Achas Ochla Page Shvius, meanwhile, another woman is also being brought to Beis Din for Malkus because she ate unripe figs of Shvius. Now, the dinim of Shmita include that the fruit has to be la'ochla, it has to be doctored to be eaten in the normal way, and among other things, you're not allowed to eat the fruit when it's below a certain stage of ripeness, when it's not normal to eat it that way. So therefore, she was over on that, and therefore she's getting Malkus for that. Omru lahem, so she says, so the second woman says to the basin, Rabakosha became her deal on Mahi Loika, please inform everybody what I'm getting Malkus for, and it may even not even be Yad Yosef brings over here from the Rivosh, it may not even be Malkus Daraisa, it may only be Malkus Maudis Dirabonon for doing such a thing. But Eitz Yosef brings that also. Anyway, so please inform everybody why I'm getting Malkus, Kadesh Lo Yemra, Masha Zuloika, Zuloika. Because otherwise, people are going to think that I did exactly the same thing as this other woman. She committed Znus, and she's getting Malkus. People are going to think I did the same thing. Miyad Heviu Pageshvius. So they brought unripe figs from Shmita, the Tolu Lava Tzavara, and they hung them around her neck. Kachiloika, and they made an announcement. That's why she's getting Malkus. So the same way with Moshe. So the same way, Moshe doesn't want people to think that he's the same thing as the Dirat HaMidbar, therefore he wants it to be publicized what Aveda he did. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos, Marsha points out the problem with that is the Gemara is saying Moshe the Moshe the David, implying that the Moshe has to have David somewhere in there as well. Where's David in this Moshe? So he explains that actually what it means is that, the two women in this Moshe are in fact Moshe and David respectively. One did a more serious aveda, one did a less serious aveda. As far as the Dirat HaMidbar, that's different. They did something public. So they are, and it is taka written in the psukim what they did, but that's because they did something public. So you can't say on them that there was any havam in it that it shouldn't be written. Mashenkin with Moshe, he's asking that it should be written, and David is asking that it shouldn't be written. So therefore Moshe is more like the one with the figs, and David is more like the other one. in that sense, says Marsha. So he says, right, so this says the one who was Mizaneh, Fakev, was saying the one who ate the figs wants it to be publicized what she did. The other one doesn't want it to be publicized what she did. That's the situation of David, where he doesn't want it to be written in Tanakh what he did. Okay. The Gemara goes on to say, it's bringing a braisa over here with different points of Aganda. So here's another one regarding publicizing people's averus. Mefarsim in a sachanefim mifnei chilul Hashem. We have to publicize people who are chanefim, meaning they're reshoyim, Rashi says, but they pretend on the outside as though they're tzaddikim. If there's somebody who knows what they're really doing, he has to publicize them mifnei chilul Hashem, because of the otherwise there's a potential chilul Hashem. For two things. First of all, people learn from him. They think that he's a tzaddik, and therefore they think that they should follow in his ways. And second of all, when he eventually gets punished, people are going to think, look at that, tzaddik, Hashem punishes him so severely, so it must be that Hashem is not acting fairly or something. So therefore, it's important to publicize such people, that this way that'll avoid both of those problems. The Rif points out, when you get down to it, as the Gemara is going to say, Hashem himself is going to eventually find a way to expose him, but nevertheless, if a person knows that before that, then there's still the issue. You don't want, until Hashem punishes him, that people should learn from him, and therefore you want to do it as soon as possible. And again, Yun Yaakov points out also, if the person gets punished, then fakir, people are, without it having been publicized yet what he is, people are going to think, like Rashi says, that Hashem is not acting fairly, and therefore it needs to be informed in advance. Chenema, as we find a pasuk, uvishuv tzaddik mitzidkoi, Yechezkel says, when a tzaddik goes back from his tzidkos, so he was a tzaddik and now he decides to become a rasha, but also ovel, and he does injustice, v'nasati michshol lefanav, Hashem says, I'll put a stumbling block in front of him, hu yamos, and he'll die, ki lo yizharti v'gomer, and Hashem tells him, because you, the Navi, didn't warn him. The point is, in other words, we're saying that Hashem is going to arrange a situation where this person is going to end up acting badly in a public way so that everybody will know what he really is. But until then, meanwhile, at least people need to, if people know about it, then they need to inform the public for the same reason rather than leaving it up to Hashem to deal with it. But there's actually a story in a Medrash, something along those lines, where there's this Yid comes to town and he needs someplace to store his money for safekeeping for a while. He sees a Yid in shul, named Talis and Tefillin, and davening Barichos, so he thinks he must be an honest person, and he deposits his money with him. Later on, he comes back, the guy denies the whole thing. The Yid goes and complains to the Eibishter, I only trusted him because of your Talis and Tefillin. So Eliyahu HaNavi comes to him and helps him expose what the guy really is, that's an example where it's dangerous to have chanefim, and therefore the Eibishter will even send Eliyahu HaNavi to assist with that if necessary. Continues the Braisa, Tshuvos HaMuchlotin, the tshuva of people who are muchlat. Now muchlat means definitive, like you have, for example, a mitzvah muchlat, somebody who's a confirmed mitzvah. So muchlotin over here, Rashi explains, means the shoyim gmurin. So their tshuva, makhebes as a puranus, holds back punishment. In other words, even though the guy's a muchlat, he's a total rasha, nevertheless, he does tshuva, then it helps hold, it holds back Hashem's punishment from him. Even after Hashem has sealed their gzaudin, that they're going to be punished, nevertheless, their tshuva can delay it. Now, Tosfos Yeshanim over here points out, and the Rif mentions something along similar lines, that after all, the Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah, once Gzau Din has taken place, then there's no changing the verdict. So first of all, Tosfos Yeshanim says, okay, one possibility, of course, is that our Braisa disagrees with that. It's Rabbi Yitzchak says that over there, so our Braisa could be disagreeing with that and saying even after Gzau Din it helps. Or fine, it doesn't mean that it removes the punishment altogether, it just delays it. But eventually it'll happen because there was a Gzau Din. So we're saying Mochlotim, Marsha says it means even the Mochlotim, even though they're such confirmed Rishoyim, nevertheless, even such people's Tshuva helps hold back their punishment. Iyun Yaakov explains the other way around. He says what it means is fakir. The Mukhlatin's tshuva is much more powerful because he's Mukhlat. Because, like we learned before, over Adam Aveda Shana, he's done the Aveda over and over again, and now he overpowers and does tshuva, so that kind of thing has a much greater power to be Ma'akav as a Koranus than regular tshuva. Next, the Braisa continues, Shalvas Rishoyim, when Rishoyim have peace, it ends up being a stumbling block for them, because Rashi says when they're at peace, then they can sit and think and plot various kinds of averus. So they would be better off if they didn't. If they had an uncomfortable time of it, because then they wouldn't have an ability to gather together and hatch such plots. Here's another thing to be aware of, that leadership buries its owner. Like Gemara mentions in Brachas, for example, that Yosef passed away before all his brothers because he had Rishus. He was a leader. Rashi mentions it over here. So the peace of Rishoyim is no good for them. And then when you have a person who's in a position of leadership, then it shortens his life. Orum nichnas lov, orum yotzi mimena, and the Braisa continues. A person goes into a state of reshus. For example, a person becomes a dayan. He goes into naked because he goes in without anything. A person comes into the world, or it doesn't mean dafka reshus. Bechal, a person comes naked into the world. But orum yotzi mimena, he leaves it also without anything. Olavai shatei yitzia kabia. Halavai that he's going out should be with as much that he's innocent of averus as when he came in. That's the Gemara in Bava Metzia mentions in that connection when it says Baruch Ata B'Vayecho, Baruch Ata B'Tzatzecha. It's expressing the same bracha that a person should be able to leave this world with the same level of kedusha as he came into. In fact, Yad Yosef brings even if it's just that his neshama didn't get dirtied in this world is already a great enough thing. If now on top of that he's been able to accomplish avodas habirurim in this world, then that's even greater. We're not even talking about that. We're saying at least the yitziyah should be no worse than the bia. And the Gemara tells Rav ki have a nafik lemeidan dina. When Rav would go out to judge a din Torah, Omar Hochin, he would say a similar expression, with my own desire of my heart, with my own rotzen, lekatlan nafik, I'm going out to be killed. In other words, because Rav is saying, I'm going to judge a din Torah. There's a tremendous responsibility on my shoulders. A dayan makes a mistake. Then the Gemara mentions in Bava Kamma and in other places that it's considered as though he's taking away neshamas from people. So therefore, Rav is saying here, of my own volition, on my own, it's not even I'm being taken out to be executed like they're forcing me to. I'm going there on my own. And I'm not doing what they want from me in my house. Because I'm not even earning money for my household. Because after all, a dayan is not allowed to take a salary. The rake of the basi ale, so I'm gonna come home to my house empty without having earned anything. Orum akonis love orum etzim imena. I'm going to go into it naked. I'm going to come out naked. So like we said, that implies to the world in general. Marsha says actually it does mean also as far as srora, as far as that I'm going in to judging the din Torah without anything. And I'm going to come out of it without anything. And again, levite shtei bia ki yitzia. Halavai, my going in should be like when I come out. In other words, at least when I go home, I should be just as free of chet as when I left my house to go to this din Torah, that I shouldn't have done anything wrong. Marshal, so this Gemara is also in Sanhedrin. Marshal explains over there also what Rav is saying is that not only am I not allowed to take a salary for judging a din Torah, but in many cases, if I make a mistake in halacha, I have to pay for it out of my own pocket. So he's saying, not only I'm not earning anything from this, but halavai, I shouldn't end up in a bigger hole than I was before, having to pay out money where I go into the Beis Din Shtibl not having to, and I come out having to because I made a mistake in halacha. By the way, there Rashi brings on the Psukim in Malachim that Shlomo made the same point when he's davening to Hashem shortly after he became king. He went to Givon over there, and he has his dream where Hashem asks him, what do you ask, whatever you want. And he says, you made me the king over Ha'om Ha'rav Hazeh, and Rashi brings, because Goyish judges, if they make a mistake in judgment, big deal. But a Yiddish judge who makes a mistake, but Hashem treats it very, very seriously. So here, Rav is expressing the same point. And also Rav, ki avachoziam buha de ozobasre, at other times when Rav would see crowds of people who are following him for his covered, Omar Hochi, he would say the following pasuk to put himself in the right frame of mind to realize that he shouldn't become a Baal Gaiva. The pasuk says, im yala l'shamayim siyoi, even if his fame reaches all the way up to Shemayim, v'roshe la'ov yagia, even if his head reaches all the way to the clouds, he'll be lost forever, like a gola, like a piece of dung, like a piece of waste. Royav yoimru ayoy, those who see him are going to ask, where is he? Like he's going to disappear without a trace. So Rav would say this positive, these two psukim to himself to help put himself in the right frame of mind. I shouldn't let it go to my head, the fact that I have all this crowd of people just surrounding me and honoring me. So yeah. The Gemara brings another gear set that Rava would say the same thing as well. And similarly, the Mazutra Chassidia, Kiavu Makatzele B'Shabsa de Rigla. Similarly, Mazutra Chassidia, when they would carry him on their shoulders on the Shabbos of the Yom Tov. So Rashi explained, now you had, there would be the Shabbos before the Yom Tov, or during the Yom Tov. We find in many places in Shas, that would be a particular time when they would have drushes for the Tzibur, to teach them practical halacha and whatever. So now Mazutra was old, so he couldn't walk from his house to the Bismedrish. They would have to carry him on a litter. So they're also showing him enormous covering. So Omar, he would quote to himself the pasuk, Ki loyla olam choysin v'gemer, there's no strength forever, and the pasuk continues, being nezer l'dor v'dor. There's no crown that lasts from generation to generation. Again, with the idea of reminding himself to keep himself in the right place, and not to think that I'm not to get too big, in his own mind. The Braisa continues further on this topic. We mentioned that the piece of Rishoyim ends up to be a stumbling block for them. So here's another pasuk that bears on that. The pasuk says, "Seis pnei rosha loytoyim." The pasuk says, "To show favoritism to a rosha is not good." Now, of course, in the poshut of pshat, it means that a dayan shouldn't show favoritism to a rosha. But the Gemara is understanding that it means that it's not good when Hashem shows favoritism to a rosha. Loytoyv lahem l'roshoyim shenoysim lahem ponim ba'olam hazeh. It's no good for the Rosha himself when Hashem shows him favoritism in this world. For example, it turned out to be very bad for Achav that Hashem showed him favor in this world and made him, he had a reign of 22 years, he was very rich and very powerful and everything. But in other words, the Gemara, the pasuk the Gemara is going to quote now is after the whole story with Navos, after he killed Navos, and at first Hashem tells him you're going to be killed, you and your whole family are going to be wiped out, and then he does tshuva, and Hashem says to Eliyahu, Hara'isa ki nichna Achav milafanai, have you seen that Achav humbled himself before me? As the pasuk says, he was fasting and putting on sackcloth. The Medrash says he would have Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda come every day and give him Malkus. So Hashem says, you see that he did a certain degree of tshuva. Therefore, like Ovi Arabi Yamav, so I won't bring this evil in his times. This his family will be wiped out will take place only after he dies. The point is, it turned out to be no good for him. If Hashem had brought down the hammer on him right then he might have still retained his place in Adam Haba. Like this, he remained in Russia. He ended up losing his place in Adam Haba. So therefore, it would have... Achav remained in Russia the rest of his life. So Nichna, but nevertheless, he still remained in Russia as far as other things. He still worshipped Eved Zara. He still, even as far as this thing with Novos, actually, the Malbim points out a very interesting nuance in the pasuk. He says, the pasuk goes like this, Hara'isa ki nichna Achav milafonai. Have you seen that Achav humbled himself before me? Yan ki nichna miponai, Hashem says, because he humbled himself in front of me, therefore, like Avi Rabbi Yamal. So the Malbim points out an interesting nuance. You have first it says milafonai, and then it says miponai. And he explains, you, Eliyahu, you after all, being a boss of Adam, you look at his tshuva, and you think it's really sincere. I know the truth. I know it's really all not all that sincere. It's only milafonai. It's only giving an appearance of tshuva. Nevertheless, I'm going to give him a break because of that. So even that, it was only a certain superficial level of tshuva. So he still considered Avodah Zarah and all of his other avodas. And eventually, 3 years later, he was killed in battle against Ben-Hadad Melech Aram. So the point is, in other words, so now the Gemara is saying he would have been better off. The Eidush had brought the hammer down on him then, and then he might not have lost his place in the Mahaba. Like this, he continued to be a Rasha for 3 more years, and then he lost that. On the other hand, now the Pasuk, that Pasuk says, Pnei Rasha Lo Tov continues, Lahatos Tzadik Bamishpat. To pervert the judgment of a tzaddik, to pervert the judgment of a tzaddik. So in the simple sense, again, the pasuk is saying it's not good for a dayan to favor the rasha and pervert the justice of the tzaddik. You have there's a rasha and a tzaddik in front of you, and the rasha is in the wrong. Don't go showing favoritism to the rasha, and then you're going to end up perverting the justice that the tzaddik should have. Here, the Gemara is understanding though that these are actually referring to two separate ways that Hashem treats rishoyim and treats tzaddik. And the Lahatis Tzadik Bamishpat were actually understanding as if the word Toiv was repeated again in the Pasuk. Since the expression in the Pasuk is, Se'es Pnei Rasha Loi Toiv, Lahatis Tzadik Bamishpat, the Gemara is also doubting, it's as though it said the word Toiv twice. Se'es Pnei Rasha Loi Toiv, it's not good to favor the Rasha because then the Pasuk, it's a Pasuk in Mishnah. Yeah, so the whole pasuk goes, Se'es Pnei Rasha Lo Tov, Lahatos Tzadik Bamishpat. So the plain meaning of the pasuk is, it's a warning to Dayanim, don't go favoring the Rasha, because then you're going to end up perverting the judgment of the Tzadik, you're going to end up finding him in the wrong when you shouldn't have done it. But now the Gemara is doubting that it means like this. It's two separate things. Se'es Pnei Rasha Lo Tov, it's not good for the Rasha when Hashem shows in favoritism, like this example of Achav. On the other hand, the Gemara is treating as though the word Tov said twice in the Pasuk, Tov Lahatos Tzadik Bamishpat, it's good when the judgment of the Rasha is altered than what it should be. By rights, a Tzadik could be treated kindly by Hashem, but it's good for him when Hashem treats him harshly. That's the Gemara's doubting. Good for the Tzadik. The same way as it's bad for the Rasha when Hashem treats him kindly, because then he just continues doing Averis and winds up in a worse and worse position. The same way the Tzaddik is better off when Hashem treats him harshly. That's the Gemara says, Toiv lahem l'tzaddikim, sholem nasa lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu ponim ba'olam hazeh. The Tzaddikim are better off that Hashem doesn't give them a break in this world. For example, Ashreim l'moshe l'Aaron, sholem nasa lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu ponim ba'olam hazeh. For example, how fortunate are Moshe and Aaron that Hashem did not show them any favoritism in olam hazeh. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Yan lehem mantem mibugim. Hashem says, because you didn't trust in me, therefore neither of you are going to make an inheritance Israel. Hohem mantem bi. And Hashem is saying, the implication is if you had fully trusted in me and spoke to the rock, it wouldn't have been your time yet to pass away. But it was good for them that Hashem treated them so strictly, and that way they have their full place in Olam Haba. Marsha points out the reason why the Gemara is davishing in that way is because Lafit Pshutai, it should have a vav in there. It should say, Se'es Pnei Rasha Lo Tov. There's two things, bad to favor the Rasha, and it's bad to pervert the justice of the Tzaddik. Since you don't have the Vav over there, so the Gemara is understanding that it means that the Toiv of the first half of the Pasuk goes together with the Lahatos Tzaddik Bamishpat. Similarly, continues the Gemara, Ashreihem L'Tzaddikim, here's another distinction between Tzaddikim and Rishoyim. Ashreihem L'Tzaddikim, how fortunate are the Tzaddikim, Loi Dayan Shazoichem L'Atzman. Not only do they accomplish schus for themselves, Elon Shemazakim Lim's name, or Livnev name, at Sof Kaderis. They're able to bring about a schus for themselves and all their descendants until the end of all generations. For example, Harbeil Shakama Bonim Horulala Aaron, Sharuin Lisodif Kilisorif Kinodavavi. Consider, Aaron had 4 sons, and by rights, all of them should have been burnt by a fire from Hashem. Shenema Hanay Sorim, because we see after Nadav and Avil were killed, the Pasuk says, on the laws only summer, Hanay Sorim, they were the leftover ones, implying that they were left over, they were spared from the punishment that otherwise they should have deserved as well. Ella Shes Chus Avoysim Omdalahem, but the Chus of their father of Aaron stood up on their behalf. Marsha points out that on the other hand, you have a Medrash that actually brings down the Pasuk that Hashem was going to destroy all of Aaron's sons and Moshe davened for them, and therefore we learn from that Tefillah Osa Mechza, because his Tefillah was able to accomplish to take away half the Zera, so that implies that Adarabba, they should have all died because of Aaron's Chet, and Moshe's Tefillah saved only 2 of them. Now, what Marsha points out, the fact is, you have so many different Midrashim and Gemaras and whatever about why Nadav and Avihu passed away anyway, and some of it attributes it to their own Averis, so just because you have different Midrashim on the subject doesn't necessarily mean there's such a contradiction over here. It's kind of we're mentioning a couple of different things. We're a couple of different general statements about the contrast between tzaddikim and rishonim. Tosfos Yom HaKippurim points out another way of looking at it as well, as Parshat that it took both. What Moshe did is he davened to Hashem to remember Aaron's schusim and therefore to spare two of his children. So it's still, therefore, the Gemara can still say that schus avoysim om delahem, and therefore we see what a tzaddik can accomplish for his descendants. On the other hand, oy lahem l'rishoyim. On the other hand, woe to the rishoyim. Loy dayan shemachayven atzman. Not only do they make themselves guilty, el shemachayven l'vneim l'vneim v'neim at soif kardurus. They even cause a detriment to their descendants until all future generations. Now, Marashah says, what do you mean all future generations? What happened to Al-Shiloshim Val-Ribayim? Hashem only punishes till the third and fourth generation. He says, we're not even talking about a punishment over here. We're talking about more like a flaw that they have, a flaw that continues to be throughout the generations. And here's an example. How did Bonim Hodel Knan show you in the Samech? Knan had many descendants who would have deserved to have Smicha. Ketobi Abdesh Ram Gamliel. Consider Tobi the famous slave of Ram Gamliel, where Ram Gamliel says on him, Kosher Hoya, and he was a Talmud Chacham, and so forth. There's even a Medrash someplace where one time it says there was a Suda going on at Ram Gamliel's house, and Tobi was serving them. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was one of the guests. And he says, by right, it ought to have been the other way around. Tobi is such a Talmud Chacham. By rights, he should be reclining and I should be serving him. So we see what a great Baal Maila Tobi was. But because Knan misbehaved, therefore he messed things up and then caused this flaw for all his future descendants. The Medrash mentions in a similar vein, you have, for example, Eliezer Eben Abraham is another example of that. It's page 82 in Yoma. More on the contrast between tzaddikim and rishoyim. Kolam is zakeh a rabbin. When a person brings schus to rabbin, a person helps other people do learn Torah and do mitzvahs. Ein chet bar yodei, Hashem will not allow an aveira to come to his hand. Meaning, of course, he still has bechira chavshes, but Rashi says, in other words, Hashem pushes away the aveira to make it less likely that he should come to him. He still has the bechira to do it if he wants to, but Hashem makes it less likely for him. This we have in Tirkei Avos. V'chol machti yisaram min maspitin the other last struggle, and vice versa, a person is machti yisaram, a person causes many people to do aveiras, then Hashem doesn't give him the opportunity to do tshuva. Whereas we know the Alter Rebbe points out in the Geirsa tshuva doesn't mean that Hashem won't accept this tshuva. Hashem means Hashem won't give him opportunities, but dochak benichnas, if he pushes his way in, then Hashem is of course going to still accept this tshuva, as we find by Acher, where he thought tshuva bonim shuvim shchutz me'acher, but he could have pushed his way in and he could have made it. Why is that? Kolam zakas rabmein chet bar yodei my timer. Why is that? Why should? What's the logic that ain chet bar yodei shaloya hehu begehenim b'tamidu b'ganeim? It wouldn't be right that the rebbe should be in Gehenim for his averus and his tamidim are going to be in Ganeim. So therefore, Hashem helps that the rebbe shouldn't end up in Gehenim. Tosfos Yishonim points out over here, it's not an absolute rule. Yad Acher is a counterexample of that. But the answer is, he says, because there's a difference whether he was a Rosha to begin with. Acher, the Gemara mentions over there, there were various problems with him long before he became an Apikodis. So that kind, then, Hashem doesn't necessarily protect him from sliding back into what he was before. Here we're talking about where he started out good, then the Eibishter helps prevent that it shouldn't be that he's in Gehenim and his Talmidim are in Gan Eden. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Kilo Saziv Nafshi L'Sheol, David says, you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, to Gehenim, Lo'sitin Chassid Chalires Shachas, you won't allow your Chassid to see Shachas, the pit, which is another name for Gehenim. So that's what Marashah explains. In other words, the verse is, he starts off nafshi, and then he says chasidcha, where Marsha explains that chasidcha is lashon rabim, which is a little hard to understand because the word chasidcha in the pasuk is written without a yud and is pronounced with a shva, which means you're chasid in the singular. Marsha explains that it means lashon rabim. So you won't allow me to become a chote and end up in shoyl because chasidecha, because my talmidim who are your chasidim who are going to be in Gan Eden, and it wouldn't be right that I would be then in Gehenna. On the other hand, before the Machti Yisraelim in speaking the other lasses tshuva, why does Hashem not give the opportunity to the Machti Yisraelim to do tshuva the other way around? By the other way around, you don't want that he should be in Gan Eden and his Talmidim are going to be in Gehenna. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Adam Oshuk B'dam Nafesh, a person who is wronged because of the blood of a soul, meaning, in other words, that he caused that other people are guilty in their soul of that their soul is full of blood and full of stains and has to wind up in Gehenna. Ad bur yonos, he'll run to the pit. The pit meaning Gehenna. Al yismachu bo, they won't support him. Meaning Hashem is not going to support him and prevent him from falling in Gehenna because he taught his talmidim to do things that are going to end up that where they're going to end up in such a place. The Mishnah says now, this is actually in the printed Gemara, this is part of the previous Mishnah, but in the Mishnah it's printed as a separate Mishnah, and he has it as a separate Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Ha'omer Echtov, so the previous Mishnah had talked about the Tshuva of Yom Kippur, about the Tshuva as Mechaper for Averis Kalos and for Averis Chamuris, suspends the punishment to Yom Kippur. So now the Mishnah continues, Ha'omer Echtov Oshuv, Echtov Oshuv, if a person says again and again, I'll sin and I'll do Tshuva, he must speak in the other last Tshuva, then again Hashem won't give him the opportunity to do Tshuva. Again, he can still do Tshuva, the Eibishter will accept it, but Hashem is not going to give him the opportunity. Why not? The Alter Rebbe explains in Igeres HaTshuva because he's using the availability of Tshuva itself as an excuse to do Averis, so therefore then that causes Tshuva to be blocked for him. If he says Echtov Yom Kippur Mechaper, if he says I'll sin and Yom Kippur will Yom Kippur will be Mechaper for me and Yom Kippur Mechaper, then Yom Kippur is not Mechaper for such a person for the same problem, because then he thinks that the because of Yom Kippur itself is what's giving him the opposite, is what he thinks that gives him an excuse to do Averis. So the Ritva explains over here that what it means is that look, how is Yom Kippur Mechaper? One way of looking at it is, and we learned this when in the connection with the previous Mishnah, on Yom Kippur, a person, a Yid, naturally feels a much closer connection to the Eibishter. So now, what the Eibishter does is, on Yom Kippur, he doesn't feel that thought. He doesn't feel motivated to do a proper Tshuva, and therefore it ends up not helping. As far as the Sar La'Azazel, that doesn't help for Averis Bernard Machaveros, so therefore he winds up in trouble. The Mishnah continues, Averis from an Adon Lamokim Yem HaKippur Mechaper. When it comes to Averis between a person and Hashem, then Yom Kippur is Mechaper. Again, as long as he observes Yom Kippur properly and he's not doing the Averis, having in mind that Yom Kippur will be Mechaper for him, Averis from an Adon Lamokim, but Averis between one person and another, Ein Yom Kippur Mechaper, Adshi Yiratzes Chaveiroi, Yom Kippur is Mechaper only when he appeases the other person, only when he goes and asks the person Mechila, pays him for what he needs to pay him, etc. At Zu Darash Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. In fact, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah darish in that point. The pasuk says, "Mikol Chatasechem Lefnei Hashem Titaru." From all of your averus before Hashem, you'll be cleansed. That means averus from an unwal makom yem akapur machaber, averus from an unwal chaver. Right? Those are not exclusively lifnei Hashem. So therefore, ein yem akapur machaber. Actually, you have to ask chaver. Therefore, for that, he has to appease the other person. So in other words, in Parshat Pshat, we would understand that the Lifnei Hashem refers to the previous words, Mikol HaBesechem, Lifnei Hashem, comma, Titaru, but here he's doubting Mikol HaBesechem, or he would say the other way around, the simple Pshat, Mikol HaBesechem, from all your averus, Lifnei Hashem Titaru, you will be cleansed before Hashem, but he's taking the Lifnei Hashem to go with Mikol HaBesechem. What kind of Titaru? Only for the ones, Mikol HaBesechem, Lifnei Hashem, but not the ones that are, not the ones that are Ben Arum L'Chaver. So, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Ashreichem Yisrael, how fortunate are you Jewish people, lifnei mi atam mitaren, before whom are you cleansed, umi mitar eschem, and who is the one who cleanses you, avichem shebashamayim, your father in heaven, Hashem himself. Shenema, as the pasuk says, v'zirakti aleichem, mayim tahurim utahautem, I will sprinkle on you pure water, and you will become tahur, mikol tumaseichem, mikol gululeichem, atar eschem, I'll cleanse you from all your tuma, and from all of your, avodah zarah, v'omer, and you also have the pasuk, Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. Hashem is the mikveh of the Jewish people. Now, in the simple sense, mikveh in that pasuk means the hope. The Jewish people hope in Hashem. But here he's doubting Meloshim mikveh, as in a mikveh that you tovel in. So ma mikveh mataris atmeim, just like a mikveh is matahir people who are tomei, afa kodesh boch mataris Yisrael, so also is Hashem matahir the Jewish people. So Marsha points out, you have two psukim over here because you have a two-step process, just like with a person who's tummy mess. He needs hazah, he needs to be sprinkled with par adruma water, and then he needs to toivel. So it is over here. First Hashem is saying, I'll sprinkle you with par adruma water, and then I'll toivel. The metaphor behind it, he explains, is because the Yetzer Hara is called Tomei, one of the names for the Yetzer Hara. The Gemara mentions in Sukkah is the Tomei one. And the Yetzer Hara is always trying to kill a person. So for Dosh Latzadik, or Mavakish Laham Miso. So therefore, the process of getting rid of the Yetzer Hara and becoming cleansed of Averus requires this two-step process for Tumas HaNefesh and Tumas HaGuf. And that's why you have the two psukim that Rabbi Akiva brings. Among other things, there's a lot of drushes of this. Of course, there was a sicha on this, but I didn't have a chance to look it up mainly because I didn't realize we were going to have so far today. But I'll look it up in the tomorrow, and then tell it over tomorrow. But the one thing I know the Rebbe points out is when it said, what do you mean ma mikvah matayrus atmei? So who else is a mikvah supposed to be a matar? It's not tmei. And the answer is, imagine you have a person, for example, we're all tummy mess nowadays. When we go to the mikvah, we don't become completely tahor. But what does it take care of? Tumas keri. The same way, a person may have multiple aveiros. So, let's say he doesn't have the ability right now to do tshuva on all of them. He's only paired now to do tshuva for some of them. Nevertheless, ma mikvah matayrus atmeim. So the Eibishter is willing to accept that tshuva on the parts that he's ready to be moedav oizav on now and accept him and matayrus him from that, even though he still has other areas of tumah that he still needs to work on. So that's the thing. Maharsha says it refers to because there's a tumah of the nefesh and a tumah of the guf as a result of averus, and therefore you need a two-step process just like you need with tumas nes. So he says that the Zerakti Aleichem Mayim Tahorim is to be Matahar the Neshama. And the Mekol Tumo Seicha, Matahar Eschem, is referring to the Tumor of the Guf. Which is a greater, right, but it's a Tumor of the Guf, apparently needs more work, yeah. So the Gemara starts off, but he say Echtav Ashuv, Trei Zimni Lomali. Why does it say twice Echtav Ashuv in the Mishnah? And the answer is Kedir Rav Huna Amarav, like the thing that we learned before from Rav Huna in the name of Rav, Gamar Rav Huna Amarav. Once a person does an Avera twice, it becomes mutter to him. And again, Gemara asks, like it asks every other time in Shaft that this is brought, what do you mean it becomes mutter to him? Of course not. Like a heter, he feels like it's something mutter to him. Besides the explanation that I mentioned yesterday of why the Gemara gives this in this question and answer format, there is actually an explanation. I think the choice for Siyam HaKippurim says, because you might have thought, conceivably, maybe Rav Huna does actually mean hutraloi in the sense that Gemara mentions in a couple of places that when a person has an overpowering yetzer hara for something, he probably can't control it, so better he should go to a place where he should liuba shchodim, yisachav shchodim, go to a place where he doesn't know, and then if he's over that area, at least he's not machal shem shemayim with a hesia. So now the Gemara is saying, did Rav Huna maybe mean that? That he means it actually becomes mutter to him to go and take that step. And it's saying, no, not hutraloi, but nasis like a heter. He has a responsibility to make sure that it doesn't, that's not nasis like a heter, but rather that he realizes the gravity of it and doesn't keep doing it again and again. But that's why the Mishnah, that's why the Mishnah mentions twice, echtav ashuv, just stress that that's what we're talking about. When the person does that twice, then it becomes much more difficult for him to do tshuva. So there's chasaf dada, says the Torah specific Kippurim is a real chasaf dada. We said echt of Yemakapura Machaper in Yemakapura Machaper. Lema masnis in the Lake Rebbe. Now does that mean when we're saying that Yom Kippur won't be Machaper, if he thinks that it itself will be Machaper, or that he'll do Yavedis and Yom Kippur will be Machaper, does that mean our Mishnah doesn't hold like Rebbe? The Tanya, we learned previously that Rebbe says, Rebbe Yomer, I'll call Avedis Shabbat Torah, Ben Elsa Truva, Ben Elsa Truva, Yemakapur Machaper. Rebbe says even if the person didn't do Truva, Yom Kippur is still Machaper. So when our Mishnah is saying that Yom Kippur won't be Machaper in a case like that, sounds not like Rebbe. And the answer is, Afilo Tamer Rebbe, Agav Shaini. It's different when it's Agav. It's different when he's relying on Yom Kippur itself and saying, because Yom Kippur is available, therefore I can take it easy, and therefore I can do whatever Averus I want, so therefore even Rebbe agrees that Yom Kippur is not going to help him. But if he doesn't do the Averus, specifically having Yom Kippur in mind, but he doesn't do Tshuva, nevertheless, Rebbe holds Yom Kippur alone is enough to be Mechaper, because as we talked about previously, you have the idea that among other things, first of all, you have what the Ritva says, that practically speaking, a person feels a tremendous odorous Tshuva on Yom Kippur, and that alone helps him, and then you also have the vert, because Yom Kippur, a person's Yechidosh of a Nefesh, is shining, and therefore that has, therefore he's able to be higher than the whole concept of Mitzvahs and Averus. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach Ha'Gu'ola. Talking about Ge'ula and Tshuva, the continuation of what we're talking about over here as far as Tshuva. The Ge'ula will come even before the Jewish people do Tshuva. As you have the expression in the Pasuk in Tehillim, V'hu Yifgeh Yisrael Mikol Aveinoseh, Hashem will redeem the Jewish people from all their Aveiros, as Mitzvah David explains over there, even the Avon will not be Ma'at of the Ge'ula, because Hashem will redeem the Jewish people from their Aveiros. Now, you also have the Pasuk in Micha, Mikael Kamocha, Noisei Ovid, Va'ovra Pesha, L'Sheiros Nachalasei. And what does that mean? So Mitzudas David also explains, L'Sheiros Nachalasei, it means the ones who are left over after Chevle Mashiach, which includes also all the people who are left over now after the Holocaust, Noisei Ovid, Va'ovra Pesha, Hashem is willing, so to speak, to overlook the Pesha and not to pay attention to it and punish for it, rather, Ovra Pesha, and V'holuch L'Hola, Hashem, like, so to speak, bypasses it as if he doesn't see it. And as the Radak says on the same passage, it means also those who are left of the Jewish people, when Mashiach comes, even though they may be chayev, they're guilty, and they deserve to not go out of Golos because they acted badly, nevertheless, Hashem is not going to pay attention to what they do. Because Hashem wants chesed, and his chesed will overcome their chatoyim when it comes the time for the Geula. Yad Mamish. Continuing on Halachos of Kiddush. So by day also you have to make kiddush ala kois. It's just the bracha b'er pri agofen. Women are chayiv in it as well. Same dinim as far as not eating before it is the nighttime kiddush. Mitzvah al mufchor should also be on wine. If a person likes mashke and is makadosh on it, he can also be yotze, but it has to hold at least the revius than he holds and he drinks a maloy logumov without a hefse. As far as if a person makes kiddush on wine and later on he wants to drink mashka or coffee, then you have the details of what patters what, the basic rule being that wine patters most other drinks, but actually there's a suffix, so here the Alter Rebbe says they are nifter, but some posts can say there's a suffix, and therefore, so the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch had said previously you should have in mind not to patter them, and then later on you'll say a shakol and drink them. According to the Alter Rebbe, it comes out it's not necessary because they are in fact pattered by the bracha on wine. You're saying, yeah, like it's so simple, but obviously it's not so simple since other folks can disagree. So we hold now that I hold that a pastor's on.